Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And the one, the only, Chris.
Hello.
If you missed the first hour, you've got to catch it. There's a super bug out there. A super bug that they're saying within days you can die from the sexual transmitted disease, and so much more we're going to share about with the tip of the iceberg. They're reporting that even in Washington, D.C., there's a video available for you on the torch. This abortion doctor saying we will not resuscitate or help that baby, even though the law says we have to. It's being uncovered. We just got to continue to pray. Lord, end abortion, send revival. And it's a national day of prayer. We'll be joining them in just a moment live. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hello.
Well, right now, it is the national day of prayer taking place. You need to find a place to be able to pray and participate in it, right where you're at. But let's just join right now, right in Washington, D.C., the National Day of Prayer, and just kind of join our hearts. You're listening to the National Day of Prayer live, Washington, D.C., where they're beginning to walk through ceremony. Dear God, have mercy on America. Have mercy on America, God. You're listening live to the National Day of Prayer, Washington, D.C. You're listening live right now to the National Day of Prayer in Washington, D.C. Just continue to keep them in your prayer. We'll join them from time to time in this extra hour. You can watch it yourself at God.TV, God.TV. You know, it is something right now what's taking place around the world, around America. But listen, God hears prayer. God answers prayer. He answers prayer. And I just want to encourage you, in faith, begin to just cry out to God and say, God, you know, touch our country. Heal our land, restore us. But while simultaneously that we're praying today, God is answering prayer in Durban, South Africa, with an awakening, a healing awakening taking place there. And Todd Bentley, one of the now spiritual sons of Rick Joyner, who helped restore him and bring him back to a place that now he's able, after a couple of years, to be able to be used by God, is coming back with force. But I wanted you to hear, because on the third hour, you can hear now on VFN Radio an hour of the Great Awakening that's taking place. We want to hear what Rick Joyner is saying about what's taking place. Listen up.
One to make mention, how many of you have seen what's starting to break out down in Durban, South Africa? Isn't that awesome? And our friend Todd is stirring something up again. But it does have a sense of more than just some powerful meetings. There have been quite a large number of Hindus, Muslims, others that have gotten healed, come to the Lord for salvation. People are starting to fly there to attend the meetings. And if you haven't checked it out, God TV is, you know, they... I think God has raised up God TV to just kind of document the great things that are happening today. I mean, they'll go anywhere. They come to most of our conferences here, and they try to be anywhere where they think God is moving or saying something significant, and they put it out to the whole world, over 200 nations. But they're down there. You can watch it on God TV. I think they're filming it every night, at least through this weekend. There is a sense of something extraordinary, but Todd is requesting that we would pray for him. Pray for what's going on there. There are noteworthy miracles, and it seems like this could be another breakout of something. I am praying about it. I feel like this is kind of the unstopping of the wells that John G. Lake dug in South Africa. And, you know, his greatest works were in South Africa. And it just has a sense on that. And praying about it, I felt like the Lord showed me that was also a message from Lakeland. You know, that this really is. John G. Lake was an extraordinary man of faith that really did dig many wells that I believe the Philistines have stopped up. Well, it's time to get them unstopped. And I feel like this is the beginning of that in South Africa. Things are starting to break out around there. Let's do pray for him.
That's so important when we are seeing someone's mentor, someone's spiritual father, you know, give a witness of their life and what's been going on. And even Jesus says, I don't even bear witness of myself, but my Father bears witness of me. And what you're hearing is a spiritual father bear a witness of his spiritual son, Todd Bentley, and what's taking place. And he's beginning to just begin to look at this, and we're all looking at, God, what are you doing? I mean, we're believing that it's going to definitely stir the heart of America, the American church, and say, you know what? We can have a third great awakening. We can have a third great awakening. So remember to join Rick and others in praying for Todd Bentley and God TV with Lori and Alec and all that's taking place, and just believe God. Believe God. I mean, what's going to take? It's going to take a move of God in the earth to shift this darkness that is seeming to take great advantage of many open doors and empty houses right now in nations and in hearts. And a move of God, remember, begins when we begin to get right before the Lord and we say, you know what, God, I believe you. I'm going to get things right in my life. I'm going to deal with the sin in my life. I'm going to make Jesus the Lord of my life. And that's what has taken place there. So remember to keep them in your prayers and join with them. And we talk about quite often the original intent. The original intent, and we're doing that because if you leave the original intent, it's no longer what it was anymore. And we're looking at America. America is, its original intent is the Constitution of the United States. It's the Declaration of Independence, why we're doing what we're doing. And how many of us don't know the Constitution? I mean, we were talking about the preamble of the Constitution, what was, you got to check it out. We shared with you yesterday, but I don't want to share it again, but you can actually hear it again on the torch. But it's amazing, the seven things that it, the reason why the Constitution was written and ordained and established was for these seven things. But then you look at the first article in section one. I mean, think about it. The very first thing that was written about after the preamble was Article 1, Section 1 of the United States Constitution. And it has to do with the very branch of government that people just seem to be ignoring. But we should not. It has to do, it says right here, Section 1 says, all legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and a House of Representatives. Why is that put first? Well, think about it. That's who represents us. That's representative government. And the very first thing after the preamble, it talks about Senate and Congress. And so many people just tell, you know, they say, you just need to push on past Congress. You just need to do it. I'll accomplish this totally outside of you. You can either work with me or I'll get the people to do it in the nation. It's like, that's their representatives. And so in the original intent, we think about the first thing that they wrote about was the Senate and the House of Representatives. They wrote about Congress. Mm-hmm. And it's in that, and that's why it's important that you find and support the values, and you find out what candidates stand for, what their values are, and you find people who agree with Christian values. One example is that they believe that life begins at conception and not to kill that child in the mother's womb. Why? First of all, because that's murder. Secondly, because the way that this nation is set up, the Congress will pass a law saying that it's murder and they can no longer do it anymore.
Right.
That's what's so important about that. So voting people into office that have your values, Christian values, and the thing is we got to rediscover our original intent of what Christian values are, but one is thou shalt not murder.
Mm-hmm.
And by getting involved and asking questions like, you know, what is your stand on this? What is your stand on that? You can find out if they actually agree with the same values that God has spoken in his word. And we can change these horrific things taking place by having a representative government who represents our values. And the very first thing they talk about after the preamble to the Constitution, the first article, the first section, is Congress. Let me read it to you again. All legislative powers, think about it, all. And legislative means lawmaking powers, by the way. And we've totally surpassed Congress in so many different ways with executive orders and all these czars, these different things, and these policies and procedures. Like, what happened to Congress? You know, what happened to Congress? And so Congress has happened now to unfund things to be able to make a point and to stop things because there's things being passed that they didn't want to be passed.
Mm-hmm.
But it says, and this is every bit of it, right? All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and a House of Representatives. Think about representatives. That's the lawmaking part of our government. You have three branches of government. You have the executive branch, the legislative branch, and you have the judiciary branch. The legislative branch, which is Congress, which just talks about in Article 1, Section 1, is the only one that's supposed to make laws. And not only that, to fund those laws. And the executive branch is to enforce those laws, which would be the president and his mm-hmm. cabinet. And the judiciary branch is supposed to interpret the laws as if they're constitutional or not. Not make laws, but are they constitutional or not? Because everything's based on the Constitution of the United States of America, mm-hmm. the original intent. And so we got to begin to look at Congress a bit different and start thinking, wait a minute, you're saying nothing. You're doing nothing, or you're doing something. I don't know. Begin to hold your congressman and your senator, your representative, accountable for what they're doing or what they're not doing, and realize that's how things are made. And so when you're talking about things such as abortion, when you're thinking about, you know, safety of our borders, that our Congress can make a law that changes everything.
All right.
That changes everything. If they make no laws and they just let the executive branch make policies and procedures and proclamations that kind of take the place of law, that become law, by the way, if they're not stopped by Congress, by the way. That's part of the things that we've talked about. After a certain time frame, I believe it's 90 days, that an executive order becomes a law. I don't know what the days are, but if it just sits there. So quite often, keep from stirring things up and messing up their political atmosphere, some people will just let the executive branch make an executive order and nobody say anything, and all of a sudden it becomes a law and nobody takes responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm.
Happens quite a bit. And so under original intent, so all we want to do is, I think about Dr. Martin Luther King, when he was talking about the same thing, he says, listen, I'm not asking you for anything except what's written on paper. What's written on paper. Listen to Dr. Martin Luther King say these very same words. And what he's talking about, the paper, he's talking about human rights and he's talking about the Constitution. Listen up.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country. Maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right.
You're listening to Dr. King as he's talking about, listen, I'm just holding you, America, accountable to what's written on the paper. It's not wrong to hold America and Washington, D.C. accountable to what's written on paper because that's our Constitution. That's what we're made of. That's what we're a nation of laws. And what Dr. King's talking about is the First Amendment, the first Bill of Rights and the First Amendment to the Constitution, which says, you know, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of press or the right of people to peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for a redressing of grievances. In other words, it's not wrong for you to go, I don't think what you're doing is right. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, it's constitutional. And the reason why our founding fathers did that is because they came from a government that would behead you or that would lock you up in leg irons and dungeons and prisons or whatever for challenging them and saying this is not right. Listen, we don't want to go. We don't want to set aside the Constitution. We want to go back and say, listen, we want to go back to the original intent of our nation. And that one of the first original tents in writing of the Constitution is that Congress of the United States is made up of Senate and the House of Representatives, and they're the ones that are the legislature body. They're the ones that make laws. Nobody else is supposed to make no laws. They're supposed to make them. And if we created things and ideas and concepts that cause these laws to happen outside of that, we need to go back to the original tent and undo those things and go back to our original founding fathers' leadership in the area of this great document called the Constitution of the United States. You're listening to Original Tent on VFN Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, I've heard a lot of talk about the conscience laws lately as regards to like the medical community.
Right.
Yeah, I was wondering about the fact that we spend millions of dollars every year as taxpayers that we might not feel good about, that we have no say over, that goes to abortion.
Well, what's interesting is the Supreme Court, on the issue of how your taxes are spent, have said that's a general obligation of being a citizen of the United States of America. And when you have to pay your taxes, that means sometimes your government may spend money you disagree with. The difference on the conscience clause issue is it's an individual right that you have to not violate your conscience through an action. And paying the taxes is not one of those.
Learn more about our work and receive timely updates on the most critical issues facing our country today by visiting us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wondering if there's anybody real? You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, you know, being an addict. Run through every door, every opportunity. And it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything and I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. You can reach out to Jesus Christ. That he is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that he can. And he wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your heavenly father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Pat, mm-hmm. I had a chance to go to my doctor, yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to bring up the name or the practice. And when you go in there, they give you these forms now. They give you these forms on clipboards. And it's like, you know, there's a day, I will never forget, when we, by the way, there was a time when we didn't have self-service gas. You'd pull up to a gas station, and people would put gas in your car. And so they started having little stores open up with self-service.
They still do that in the north. Yeah.
I know. There's a reason why they
do. Okay.
Everybody's scared to get out of the car. They crack the windows. They give me five. You just want a gallon, huh? Anyway, you pulled up to a gas station way back when, and they'd put gas in your car, and they started opening up these self-service here and there. There's very few. And people go, that's never going to work. That's just never going to work. And of course, now you have women getting out in like ball gowns standing by her car, holding her nozzle. And that's not a strange sight that people have never seen, not having self-service. But there was a day that a lady was honored when she pulled up to the gas station, because the men would come out and shine her windshield and check her oil and thank her for her business. And it was just real cool. Mm-hmm. It was real neat how that happened. Well, that's how the doctor's offices are now. I mean, I went to this doctor's office, and they gave me the clerk's work. I mean, I had this like 3-page form back in front, all these questions, you know, what ratio of improvement have you had since the last time you visited based on the left quadrant part of your body? I'm like, oh my goodness, what happened? This feels like a final exam in the university or something. And wow. So I'm working my way through it. I'm fighting, you know, oppression. I'm getting it. You know, finally, I get this paperwork done. I'm thinking like, how much are they paying you, lady? I mean, you're not even doing this. You should ask these questions for us.
You get a tip.
You get a tip or whatever. You know, your ratio. You got to give ratios. How much have you proved, percentage-wise, from the last time you hear, I don't know, 27% I'm better? I don't know. And so anyway, I think I finally passed that, and I leave this older man, and he's still like on page one of that stuff. I looked at him. I said, hold in there, man. You could do this thing. Because I know what was going through his thought was self-service gas would never work. Anyway, so here I am. They take me to this room. You're thinking, man, this is cool. I'm going to be taken care of. They called me out. I felt bad leaving the older man in this particular waiting room, but, you know, you have to do what you got to do. And they take me to a little small room, maybe, I don't know, nothing by nothing. And they said, doctor will be right with you. And then they closed the door. And I thought, oh, my goodness.
And an hour later.
I'm telling you. It was like the walls were closing in. I remember in the sheriff's department, we used to take people and put them in isolation. And we put them all by themselves when they would do stuff wrong in the jail. So, and I'm like, this is isolation. There is no video. There's no outside thing. There's not a phone hanging. Luckily, I had my phone, and I told the doctor when he finally got in there about 3 days later, I said, listen, man, this is like isolation. If I didn't have my phone to be able to call my family and reconnect with them on the outside, I wouldn't know what was happening here. This is a long time. We need something in touch with the outside world by your patients. Of course, he looked at me and he said, so what percentage are you better now that you are?
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. That was totally amazing to be in there in the doctor's office. Obviously, it appears that if you're the one filling out the form, that the doctor's not filling it out, and it's probably some sort of legality type thing, but it's like, and your job is to do what? You know, right?
Right.
Is to do what? I mean, it was like maybe 4 or 5 pages. I mean, I needed a slide rule.
Right, right.
You know,
the lawyer to interpret it.
Well, you think about it, it's like, you know, what percentage of, you know, it's like, I don't know. You used to be like, does it hurt? You know, you go, yes. And Now you got to know what percentage of that. It's just amazing. Totally amazing what things are coming to. And I want to encourage the medical profession to get a little more attentive, because right now somebody's trying to redefine it. And if that's how you're going to do it, there are not going to be a lot of people going, we need to leave it the way it is. You know?
Right.
And one way is to get involved with your patients right there, which a lot of doctors do. A lot of doctors do that. Well, we did get a chance to be able to have this last part of the interview with Sid Roth is having with Tom Horn and Chris Putnam, authors of the books Exo Vaticana and Petros Romanos, which are talking about a Malachi prophecy that they began with. It was 900 years ago that this is the last pope, you know, that they predicted that Benedict, Pope Benedict would resign when he did, and he did. And this is all investigated. But I like this. You have to understand, because we've been listening to these interviews and you're hearing things about extraterrestrials and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is just so, you know, out there. But what they're saying here lines up with what, how it really is, that is Ephesians 6:12. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. People may call what's going on something extraterrestrial, whatever, what it is. It's just demons. It's the devil and some things going on, deceiving people. And but listen, this is the last part of the 10-part interview, and you can hear the whole thing on the VFN Torch. Sid Roth interviewing Tom Horn and Chris Putnam right there in the middle of the interview. Listen up.
We're looking at, and you know, the thesis that Tom Horn and I are advocating is that we don't believe in extraterrestrials. I mean, you know, just to be, you know, really honest, the Bible doesn't say one way or the other. But it doesn't give me the impression, you know, the Bible has a philosophy of history. You know, it tells us, you know, that God has a plan for the earth and that the earth is central in his plan. It tells us that angels long to look into these things. You know, the earth is, you know, and humanity are a central focus of what we read in Scripture.
Okay, if you don't believe in extraterrestrials, what do you believe in? Do you believe there will be demons that will pose in that position? Is that what you believe?
That's absolutely my thesis. It's because, you know, I don't see anything in Scripture about advanced extraterrestrials coming down here to help us evolve, which is the message that we get from the people that claim to have contact with these things. But I do see a lot in Scripture about a strong delusion.
Okay, paint me a picture of what this strong delusion could look like in the next few minutes.
Well, it could happen in several ways. I mean, it could be as obvious as a huge UFO appearing over a major city, and you know, these beings communicating to us that they're here to save us, or that they're our creators. I mean, this idea of panspermia, that life on Earth originated from space, is actually very popular within scientific circles. It could be something as subtle as that. It doesn't have to be a huge UFO over the cities. I mean, that's what we might expect from the movies, but it could be something as subtle as scientific evidence saying that we were created off Earth, or that aliens seeded life on Earth. It could be something as subtle as that. I suspect it'll be somewhere in the middle. I kind of think that we will see some sort of entity claiming to be an extraterrestrial. And that's my speculation. And I think part of that message would be something along the lines of panspermia. And panspermia is the idea that life on Earth was seeded from space.
You know, everything that you're saying to me leads me to one specific scripture, which I've stated before as I've interviewed you and your co-author. And that is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. If they're not going to believe the truth, God says we're going to believe the lie. And everything you tell me has that scripture just shouting at me. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that Scripture has a lot of explanatory scope. You know, when I think about the way people have been led away from believing in God as creator, that, you know, this delusion is going to be clothed in the language of science, you know, and the sort of thing that people with this naturalistic scientific worldview are primed to accept is something like this, something like an extraterrestrial, because it seems to have scientific credibility.
And another earmark of the last days is men are going to be so fearful on what's coming on the earth. This all ties in with all the documentation you've accumulated.
Yeah, you know, when Jesus used that language, you know, of what is coming on the earth, that seems to be implying something that is seen as extraterrestrial or something not of this earth. You know, for it to come on the earth, it must originate from somewhere else.
Well, I'm convinced that it's impossible to understand the end times without the information you've compiled in these two books that document the secret files in the Vatican Library on belief in aliens. And hidden in the libraries, 900 years ago, a vision of the next 112 popes, stunning accuracy of the first 111 predictions. Now, this last pope will take office for the final judgment. That's in your best-selling book, Petrus Romanus, and your brand new book that we have an exclusive on, Exo Vaticana, documents the Vatican plans for the arrival of an alien god with a small g from another planet and complete reevaluation of Christianity, the most plausible view of an Antichrist returning in the clouds to deceive the masses I've ever seen.
Totally amazing. Thinking about when you're hearing this investigation and how what they're finding out and what, you know, some Catholics are being interviewed, and this is what they're saying some Catholics are doing. We want to say, as we always say, you know, God loves Catholics. So this is just some in the Catholic organization, the church, that's obviously doing that from what their reports. But you can actually read it yourself to find out. But I like what they're saying in the context of this, that it is not about extraterrestrial and these things that people are really thinking about. It's just demonic activity. And it's always happening, by the way.
Yeah.
And God and Satan has to have a body. He has to have somebody. He's a disembodied. He has to be. He has to have a host. Mm-hmm. And so, when you saw Hitler, for example, doing what he was doing, is he was like Judas. Satan entered him and then began to use him. And you see a man moving under the spirit of Antichrist. And so it makes perfectly good sense when their thesis comes together there. And you can find out all 10 parts of the interview at SidRoth.com or go to the torch at VFNTV.com and get the commentary along with the interviews to give you perspective as we share what Jesus said about his coming and what it's like. And it's the same as the days of Noah and all that with it. You can find that at all 10 parts of the interview and the commentary from VFN Radio on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch. You know, it makes me think about you know, this is all God has prepared a place for us. He has, he said, listen, he says, don't worry. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You know, cheer up. I've overcome this life, this trouble, the things that are going on. He says, I'm going away and I'm going away to prepare a place for you. If this wasn't so, I would have told you. I would have told you about it. And heaven is so wonderful. The presence of God, we're designed for that. We're designed for that. When we get back in a moment from this break, we're going to talk about 90 Minutes in Heaven, an encounter had by Don Piper that's just going to bless you. Listen to VFN Radio. We'll be right back. I'm so excited to have Steve Kalaszewski with us on VFN Radio today. I'm glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
And there's people out there right now that I know you're brilliant now. I mean, because you're so educated. I mean, you just graduated from University of West Florida. You've graduated from the Vine Fellowship Network University. I mean, you're about to go plant a church. You've already did church work in Florida, but you're going to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're just, you know, walking on water now. But imagine if you would.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's somebody out there listening right now on VFN Radio that they slightly felt like, you know, I had a call, but immediately they looked at themselves and they looked at their work at this even come to pass. And, you know, they started doubting themselves. Talk to that person right now about how VFNU could help them out.
Wow. If you really feel that God's just really speaking to you or just speaking in your heart, VFNU is the resource that you need, because I totally relate to you, because when God found me, I had gone through the laundry list of everything that the world offered. And I knew that as soon as the message of Jesus Christ was shared to me, I knew that's exactly what I wanted. And God just began to just take me on a journey of just revealing himself to me And it, no matter what he revealed himself, no matter what he revealed to me, it just made me more hungry. It just gave me a greater desire. And when God began to speak to me about VFNU, I was like, I have no idea what that is, but I know I want it. And if it has anything to do with God, sign me up. And in that, it was just like, each day was overwhelming because it was like, oh my goodness. I'm like, wow, like this is, but it was overwhelming in a good way. And it's just so God. Right. God gives you the tools. He gives you just so many revelations, just so many levels of his word that are just, he's just so good. And VFNU is just, I mean, I still have all my notes, everything. I look back on it. And even in that, it's encouraging when I look back on it. And it's like, I remember, I think I was talking about it with you right after I graduated, and it was like looking back over an old photo album of all the revelations. It's just like, oh, I remember this one. I remember this one. Oh yeah, I remember when God spoke to me in my abiding time about this. And it was just,
isn't it amazing? So you can gather all the information that you want to, but there's nothing like the revelation. It's so empowering, and that's what VFNU is about.
Yeah,
you know, it was revealed from God.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like, you know, you might be thinking like, I got to go take my English class, I got to take my algebra class, it's just the revelation of God, and it's anointed. You know, and so you walk into it probably thinking, you know, well, I got to get this information so I can, you know, get to the point where I could minister, maybe shepherd God's people or whatever. And you walk in, the first thing you go is like, whoa, right? Right?
Yeah.
And then you finish that while, right? And then you go to the next thing, you go like, whoa, you know, it's just, he's exactly. So awesome, isn't he?
No matter how much God you have, there's more.
There really is. And if you want to find out more, you want possibly interested in, you feel a call on your life, you want to know more about possibly getting into leadership, and maybe you want to feel like you're called to be a pastor and you want to be trained, just come out to go to VFNU.org. That's VFNU.org, and you can find out more. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. We had our Bojangles moment right there. The chicken was good. The chicken was good. It's got a little bit of spice to it, not enough for Pat, but it's got good flavor to it, and it was so juicy.
Well, I've got a good chicken place. Next time you come visit, oh, I've got the place.
Your food is so good up there. Oh, my goodness. I wish there was a way that you could just... which one?
There's this place. I don't even know the name. It's a Chinese restaurant, and they stay so full. Actually, Eddie turned me on to this place. But you got to wait like 25 minutes every time you go to order your food. And, it is so... I mean, I'm sure it's not healthy for you. I'm saying, but it is so delicious.
What's the place that you and I went to where they brought over like a whole cow? They kept on bringing nonstop meat. And you kept on, give them more. What was that?
Oh, that was in the Ironbound. We went to, that's Ironbound in New York.
It was Jersey.
Newark.
Oh, Newark. Okay.
Ironbound in Newark. It was a Portuguese restaurant. What do they call that? Slip in my mind.
There's the P. It's called
Endless Meats. What do they call that?
Gluttony. Kept on bringing. Oh, go ahead. Tell
them. Greg gets off the plane, so the first thing says, let's take you out to eat. So we take him down to the Ironbound in Newark, Portuguese restaurant. And this area is awesome because they all have the same type of restaurants. You go in there, you order your food, and Pat, get this. It's unlimited meat.
Unlimited meat.
So they'll come around and they'll bring you these sausages, the chicken, then they bring you the filet mignon. It's keep. And you know what? I mean, I saw a big smile on Greg's face. I even have a picture. I mean, I was like, Greg, a smile on his face.
Oh, someone saw that picture.
Oh, my goodness. Was it before or after?
Well, he kept on going, moi, 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 or something. I don't know.
Oh, I kept bringing him over, but that was good food.
It was like the whole shish kebab. It was like a 4-foot shish kebab.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and they'd come over, and one of them was like a beef one, and one was a chicken one. One was
like sausage.
Sausage. Which was, you know, I was like, don't waste your time on that.
Yeah, right.
Get me that. Get me. You had to work. They made you earn the filet mignon. Yeah.
Like, don't bring me any more sausages. Okay. Bring me the filet mignon.
And Isaiah's looking at me like with a grilled cheese sandwich. Why are you getting all that meat? I was like, take it, Isaiah, please. Take it.
We definitely got some food here. I'll tell you that much.
You know, how to use a Band-Aid. Remember how to use a Band-Aid. Uh-huh. And so, yeah, I am stuck on Band-Aids because Band-Aid.
Yeah, very familiar with Band-Aids.
Stuck on me. And and what'd you do? If you had a Band-Aid that you had to put on your arm or something like that, you know, when you put it on, it was no big problem. But remember when you take it off, you know, you'd snatch it in a hurry, right?
Mm.
You know, because it's probably going to hurt, right?
Really bad.
Really. It depends on really how hairy you are, I guess.
Definitely.
The some people it hurts worse than others, and so you'd snatch it off in a hurry. It wasn't the fact that you're probably gonna lose a couple, you know, hairs on your arm or something, but you would just snatch it because it'd be less pain. You pull it really slow,
mm-hmm.
you know, then it would hurt, right? It's like mm-hmm. one hair at a time ripping out of your skin. And so here I am the other day, you know, I haven't put a Band-Aid on in I don't know how long, you know, and so I need to put a Band-Aid on, and I just put a Band-Aid on, and it was time to take the Band-Aid off. So just like you did as a kid, you know, I snatched up. I'm older now. Oh, my goodness. I snatched that puppy off and a little piece of my skin came with a Band-Aid.
Oh, no.
It was horrific. I'm thinking, I'm dying. I'm
now
falling.
You need another one.
I refuse. It was like a little small piece. Like, ow, you know, and it was like the part that the Band-Aid I put on, that's totally fine, but where the sticker part was,
oh my god,
it took a little piece. I'm like, I'm old, my skin came off with a Band-Aid. Forget
that's
the
bad.
It was very bad, you know. So I need prayer for my skin. Oh my goodness,
old.
I know, that's what I'm thinking. That's the first thing I thought about. You know, you get older, your skin's kind of loose on your body. Well, I wouldn't know that. I guess now I do. And I remember when your grandfather.
I was thinking of the same thing. When
your
you
grandfather
said that.
Got in a wreck. And,
yeah.
Oh, if you could have got a chance, those in the audience, you got a chance to meet his grandfather. He's just a real, real cool man. And he got in a wreck, and his skin. Imagine rolling your sleeve up on your arm. Mm-hmm. He had long sleeve shirts on. That his skin rolled up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they pulled it back down and sewed it on us. But skin, your skin. You don't, if you don't know this yet, when you get older, you know, your skin's kind of a little bit
brittle.
Brittle, and so I was like, oh my goodness, that was not the soft part, it's the part, it's just, I need another Band-Aid, but I'm not brave enough to put another Band-Aid on, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I will just live through this pain.
I'll just die.
I'll just die first, you know, and Donna came and doctored it up for me, you know, and I'm like, my goodness gracious, so watch out, don't watch out just for the place that you're going to cover up, it's going to be healed. Watch out for the other part of the Band-Aid. I mean, that's a culprit. That is a culprit. Well, I want to share with you briefly about Don Piper's testimony about 90 Minutes in Heaven. It's a book called 90 Minutes in Heaven. And, he's a minister, and he was riding in his car, and he was about to go over a bridge and got into an accident.
In his car.
And when he got in the accident, he died. Mm. And the law enforcement showed up, and they took a cover, like a tarp is how they do that, and they covered him up inside the car. And a minister came up and saw him there and crawled up in the car with him and said, well, first he asked him, he said, do you mind if I pray for him? And he said, no. So he climbed up in the car and began to pray for Don. But Don actually left his body immediately, Pat.
Wow.
This is refreshing, isn't it?
Yes.
It's just the thought of actually laying 6 feet under the ground in a box is kind of oof, you know? You know what I'm saying?
All right, all right.
Immediately, to be absent from the body is to be present with God. Think about that. And so immediately he was knocked out of his body. Mm-hmm. You think about it. He got in an accident. Immediately he dies. Body dies. He immediately goes to heaven. And as soon as he gets to heaven, as soon as he gets there, he's like on the outskirts of heaven, not walking in yet. Mm-hmm. And it's just so white. It's like an operating room white, but even whiter, brighter than that. And he said, but it wasn't painful because, you know, especially with you, the brightness is like, oh, you know, I can't see
yeah,
it.
Right.
But he said it was just so pure and so white and bright and all. And so, and then he saw these people running towards him, and he's thinking, you know, I forget what he's thinking, but he's, you know, obviously they're running towards him. What's going on, you know?
Right, right.
And while they're coming towards him, he can look, and from the far as you can see right, and as far as you can see left, from as high as you can see, there was this huge, huge wall. This huge wall, which was the walls of heaven. He could see him, but he's on the outside, you know, mm-hmm. these big gates, these giant walls, as far as you see the right and the left, these people are running to him, and all of a sudden they came up around him. And even though these people didn't know each other, mm-hmm. he knew these people. These are people all throughout his life that had something to do with speaking into his life about God. I mean, even a young friend that he had that a drunk driver had hit and killed, that he even came up to, because he always had an issue as a kid, he had a huge issue with that, and he couldn't understand why this young man who loved God, you know, would go through a situation and he would be killed like that. And he was one of the ones that greeted him.
Oh, wow.
I mean, like his grandmother was there. Yeah. I mean, different people that didn't know each other, but they all spoke into his life. And they, even though they were who they were, they were all perfect. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have all these flaws and stuff, you know, like this flaw, like that flaw. You know what I'm saying? Right. Yeah, right. And so, I mean, even his grandmother, you know, and she wasn't bent over anymore. And his friend that was, you know, killed by the drunk driver was, and even he himself, because here he was just mangled up in this car accident. But now here he is perfectly formed, and he's standing there. And it's just so, this encounters are just like, I mean, just like the way he describes them, so, I mean, his words are limited, as he said, but I could just kind of just, I was, you know, getting into his description that it was just euphoric in a way, the encounter with each individual, you know. And so when the one thing he finds out, the very first thing that happens when you get to heaven is that you're greeted by, and think about that, mm-hmm. think about that. Everybody that helped and spoke into your life who are there now mm-hmm. will actually greet you when you get there.
Wow. That's awesome.
Isn't it awesome?
That's awesome.
When you think about that, it's just so encouraging, because you know, if you want to see your loved ones, you know, if you have a mother or a father or a brother or a sister or a friend who is a believer and they've already gone on to be with the Lord, you know, whatever how they did that, how that happened, they're there. Think about this. If you make a decision now, mm-hmm. the decision that they made to be able to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, they will greet you when you come to heaven.
Wow.
Is that cool? And so when you greet, think about this. If you really want to see them again in eternity, mm-hmm. then you just actually make a decision right now. You can go to meetmyfather.org and find out about some of our testimonies, how we met God. And make sure that day that you do die, because it's all appointed once to die, that you will be like Don Piper and immediately be greeted by all those people who spoke into your life. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And what's so cool about that too, he says, you know, because some people think, well, you know, heaven, you know, especially young people, you know, heaven, you're going to sing all the time and, you know, and there's not, you know, the thing is you actually will be part of the greeting parties of people that have lives you spoke into. And so imagine, you know, if you're part of, you know, of ministering to others and helping people reproduce in the context of not only is it about them, but they speak into other people's life, but they teach other people to do that. You may be greeting for eternity people that are coming to heaven, and you're running out there going, oh my goodness, another one that found God. Isn't that awesome? I was just so glad to meet you, you know, and then take them to, and that's just so cool that you'll actually be introducing people, yourself to them and greeting them when they come to heaven.
That's something.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he then talked about, you know, some of the things he talked about. He said, imagine, he said, that there was just thousands and thousands and thousands of people that were in the city that were singing songs. Mm-hmm. Almost every one of them was singing different songs at the same time.
At the same time.
You know, right?
Yeah.
You would think, well, that's kind of noisy.
Yeah.
But he said you could actually understand them. You could actually understand individually each individual song that's being sung. Mm-hmm. And then over the people, and they're all turned towards the throne room, and then over all the people were angels that were hovering over those that are worshiping. And then the angels were so close to each other that the tips of their wings were brushing up against each other, like a whoosh sound. I don't know if you ever heard birds together, and you hear the whoosh, whoosh, mm-hmm. whoosh, whoosh. And so you have all this worship and this whooshing going on, and these sounds, and he says, it said the sound will just permeate your body and travel through your body. And it was the most pleasurable experience that you could imagine. Wow. He said it would just literally go through your body. I mean, even the sound, Pat, even the sound of heaven. Think about it. Even the sound of heaven.
Right, right.
And that's why the enemy takes music and tries to twist it, because we're designed to just flow and ebb and flow in music, and mm-hmm. you know, and so anyway, all of a sudden, he's not there anymore.
All right,
and he's hearing a song being sung. I believe it was "Amazing Grace." Amazing Grace, or you can find out the exact song in 90 Minutes in Heaven, and he realizes that that man, that minister that climbed in that car, was actually had his hand up under the tarp that was praying for him, was singing, and he began to sing the song with him.
Oh, wow.
You know, but yet his body was still broken to pieces,
uh-huh.
and he had to go through all, so he's back in his body. Mm-hmm. He walks through all this physical healing and, you know, and now, you know, he's somewhat healed, but you're never fully there. Mm-hmm. And he says, but you know, knowing that that's our destiny as believers, mm-hmm. it makes all this worth it.
Wow.
It makes all this worth it. And so, but he says, you know, as he begins to ponder about heaven, when he begins to think about heaven, and I want you to get this, when he begins to think about heaven, the thing he misses the most wasn't the people that greeted him. It wasn't the purity of the brightness and the whiteness. It wasn't these long, long walls in heaven or these large gates. It wasn't all the people themselves, or it wasn't the angels themselves. He said, but it was the sound of heaven.
Wow.
The sound of heaven. Isn't that something?
Amazing.
The sound of heaven. My goodness. I remember when I was, God had given me a dream, and in this particular dream, I was trying to explain to a friend of mine, and I had like a headset on, and where they have a mic on it, and I was, my hands were free. And I was at the corner of an intersection of the road, mm-hmm. on my feet, you know, and I'm talking to this lady. Her name is Daisy. Yeah. And it's not Tulip, but Daisy. And I'm talking to her, and I'm trying to explain to her about what we're really talking about. Or really, I was trying to explain to her. I had something in my heart I couldn't explain. And then finally, I realized it's about heaven. Mm-hmm. And then I began to, because in a song, in a dream, we're just so much better singers than we are, right?
Yeah.
Right? Hopefully, Donna didn't hear me singing. And so in this dream, all of a sudden, I just start singing John Starnes' song, "Looking for a City." You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Not built with hands. That's what we're doing. We're living for a city not built with human hands, you know, where the streets are paved with gold. And so I just began to sing, you know, it was almost like a Sound of Music moment, you know, right? The crazy dreams, you know, are amazing. But I was so relieved when I was finally able to communicate to her that, listen, it is not about this life. I mean, we're not, if we're living just for this life, Paul says we should be pitied more than anybody else.
Right.
But this is like premarital counseling. Listen, if you're a believer, if you know Jesus Christ, if you made him the Lord of your life, don't be fearful of death. I mean, realize to die is gain for us. Even the sound of your eternity you know, in heaven,
right,
is going to be better than you can even imagine. And think about that. And so the enemy will try to defeat you and pressure you and depress you and get you looking at all this brokenness and all this betrayal and all these things that the enemy's trying to stir up and strife and seemingly hopelessness, but it's not. But let me tell you this, that Jesus said that in this life you will have troubles because cheer up, but cheer up because I've overcome this life. Mm-hmm. And that's what Don Piper found out, and that's what I'm sharing with you. 90 Minutes in Heaven, you've got to get this book. It will really bless you. 90 Minutes in Heaven will truly bless you. And just remember, just the sound of heaven, just the sound of heaven, he actually missed. Isn't that cool?
Wow, amazing.
So when you think about that, I want you to begin to meditate. You know, make it a point the rest of this week just to meditate on heaven. Lord, show me heaven. Help me to see what heaven is like. You know, the new Jerusalem, no more tears, no more pain. There's a river flowing from the throne of God, and his trees are on the side of it, and his leaves are for healing for the nations. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
And it bears his fruit every single month, you know, and there is no need for a sun because the brightness of God, the brightness of Jesus.
That'd be awesome.
And forever, and forever. And there's like a huge banquet, a wedding banquet being prepared for those who know him as Lord, you know?
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
That is something.
It's going to be cool, isn't it?
It sure is. I can't wait.
I am so excited about it.
I'm ready to go.
I know.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.